took my trumpet and saxophone to war. I didn't trust a people back home, you see. I remember I'd lie on my palliass. I didn't feel that pally, mind you. And it was with mixed feelings that I played something as exotic as You Go to My Head, watching some steaming gunner cutting his toenails with pliers. I was introduced to a 6'2" dreamy-eyed gunner. 2 foot of it was head. Harry Edgington, in London, and he played the piano. It was the start of a lifelong friendship. One day, with nothing but money in mind, I suggested we try and form a band. Harry grinned and looked disbelieving.
Just the two of us?
Well, we could sit far apart, I said.
Oh.
He said. A stroke of luck. A driver, Alf Files, was posted to us with suspected rabies, and he played the guitar. All we needed now was a drummer with leprosy. One mealtime came the sound of a rhythmic beat. It was the humble gunner hammering on a piece of leased-end bacon, trying to straighten it out for the kill. This was drummer Douglas Kidgel. Would he like to be our drummer?
Yeah.
Good. Now, where to get the drums? Gunner Nick Carter said there was a certain drum kit lying fallow under the stage of Bexhill Old Town Church Hall. Captain Martin, a sort of commissioned Ned Kelly, suggested we requisition the certain drum kit to prevent it falling to the German hands, legs, teeth, and other things. Now, this sort of patriotism could go deep, like Wormwood Scrubs. With Germany poised to strike, we couldn't waste time. He took the drums and camouflaged them by painting on the artillery crest. Kidgel soon got the hang of the drums, and lo, we were a quartet, verily. After a month's practice, Captain Martin asked, could we play for a dance? Gad, I said, this is the big time. Saturday, the old town church hall, Bexhill. Who knows, next week, Eastbourne. And then, Bexhill. Seventh. The old corrugated iron roof was packed to suffocation. There were old women, kids, officers, gunners, wives. Very much a village dance affair. We played on well into the night. About 2 o'clock, Captain Martin called a halt.
Yes, here's a little something for you.
Tim, Bob, couldn't we raffle it?
Now then, Ned, remember there's a war on.
Oh, yeah, you must remember that.
Martin pocketed the rest of the money. That night, by a flickering candle, we all swore allegiance to Karl Marx. No matter what, next dance, unless we got paid more, we'd play that bloody awful Warsaw Concerto. Men in uniform can't really be considered religious, unless it be a Christian profundity that makes the gunner say, Jesus Christ, when he drops a shell on his foot. The Catholics had occasional visits from Father Holy Thing, who seemed horrified at the thought of any soldier having sexual intercourse.
Oh, be careful of strong drink, my son. Bear in mind, it excites the sexual appetites. Therefore, if you see a comrade a drunk, bring him home and bathe the parts in cold water.
Oh, it was great to know how to be a Christian. All you needed was an erection and a bucket of cold water. He warned,
avoid loose women.
I never told him the women I knew were so loose they were falling to bits. Mind you, we were all sleeping with highly respectable officers' wives whose brave husbands were away with the wars. In our rough soldier way, we would try to comfort them. One man was comforting so many, he was excused close. And, by the way, they increase his rations. Oh, those military meals. Breakfast could be recognized by shape. Sausage, yes. But lunch? That white, watery mound. Could it be spuds? But what was that heap of steaming green and black grot with a knoll of boiled grey on top that shuddered if you saw it? Visits from the orderly officer did very little to help.
Any complaints?
Yes, sir, it's this.
What's wrong with this, this?
There's nothing wrong with it, but what is this, this?
Cook, this man wants to know what this is.
That, sir, is a proper mistake, a la the Aldershots.
Oh, Christ. The cookhouse staff consisted of two ex-dustmen and the chef, a Sergeant Paddy Harris, with multiple BO, black fingernails and halitosis. Every evening, Harris could be seen leaving the billet, his service dress stuffed with tins of fruit, cream, and other wartime goodies that he laid at the feet of his mistress prior to coitus. When he first met her, she was a little 6-stone weakling. When he left Bexhill 2 years later, she weighed 14-stone, owned a chain of grocery stores, and he was a 6-stone weakling. Harris spent his leave in Dublin. He was still a citizen of the Irish Republic. One day, he returned from leave with a pig stuffed up his back. We thought he'd gone Quasimodo, but no. It was a pig. He intended to fatten the animal and serve it at the battery for Christmas dinner in exchange for some seasonable gift, like 15 shillings a portion. It was housed in an old Libby's milk box lined with crap. The keeping of pigs in barracks was forbidden, so Harris gave the creature 2 coats of white paint with brown patches that near as damn it made it look like a cocker spaniel. Oh, but oh, the pig grew bigger and had to be repainted as a Great Dane. At night, it went foraging. Lieutenant Budden awoke one night. He phoned the guardhouse.
Am I awake, Bombardier?
He inquired.
Yes, sir.
Sentry duty NCO.
In which case,
said Budden,
a pig painted brown has just eaten my battle dress and is starting on my regimentals.
We tried to tether the animal, but it broke the chain and dashed squealing over the football pitch. Didn't score a goal. Seeing Christmas dinner disappearing, we gave chase. Heading up the road to St. Leonard's, it suddenly turned right.
Ah! Ah! Marco, now!
Said Bombardier Donaldson, as the pig rushed up the steps and through the front door of, wait for it, the Belgravia guest house for a fine gentlefolk. Ta-da! Entering the hall, we saw chaos. He was a bald man lying face downward on his back with a grandfather clock across him. A fat, bursting woman was clutching a gross of Pekingese.
My darling!
She thrilled through a rouged hole. On the landing, a fine old man with a rolled-up newspaper was flailing away at nothing and shouting, A toothless crow reached forth, stirring a saucepan of thrice-watered porridge. Behind her, a blind man holding up sagging trousers appeared at the WC door.
There's no paper, Mrs. Carter,
he said.
In the cellar!
Screamed a rude, refined voice. Down we race! Up we came, the blind man bound hand and fist, still looking for the paper.
It's the darned one!
Said the dreaded Harris. Down we raced again. Over to the top step, kept shouting,
Mind my bottle! It's
him! At last we got the animal up. We were covered in cuts, bruises and bottle quinces. The pig was unmarked. With a noose around his neck, he was as quiet as a lamb.
Who?
Said the vast landlady.
Who is going to pay for all this damage, eh?
Madam, every last penny will be repaid.
Said the steaming Harris. He took her vile hand and kissed it. Passing on his hereditary gingivitis. Somewhere on the steps of Russia, squadrons of red tanks were attacking the Germans on all fronts. But England too was in there. Somewhere. About now, of course, the heroes of the war, the heroes, were the RAF pilots. It made you green with envy and red with rage. Unless you were colorblind when you went white with envy and black with rage. Of course, all the beautiful birds went out with the Biggleses, didn't they? I couldn't stand any war folks. Oh, no. I volunteered for the RAF Air Force. In February 1941, I was called for an interview to Kingsway House before a man who appeared to be wearing a pair of hairy outstretched wings under his zooter.
I see you want to join the RAF.
Yes, sir. I would like to be a RAF. I have the character and the temperament that is admirably suited to that arm.
Oh, what would you like to be?
A pilot, sir.
I want to go out with a pretty girl, there.
After a stringent physical examination, a doctor told me...
Sorry, Billigan, your eyesight isn't up to what we need for a pilot. However, we have a number of vacancies here for rear gunners with very bad eyesight.
No, sir. I don't want to be at the back seat. I want to drive.
Sorry, lad. All we can offer you is almost certain death.
But no, sir. I stood up, saluted smartly, farted, and exited. As I walked down the corridor, I saw what was possibly the ugliest waif I've ever seen.
Hello, Cheeky.
She had a face like Tommy Cooper's pulled inside out. Perhaps I had got bad eyesight. One morning, a chill of hira, horror, and harrah ran through the serried ranks. There, in part two orders, were the words, 0600 hours, the battery will be assembled for a 5-mile run!
Oh.
Strong gunners fell fainting to the floor. Some lay weeping on their beds. 5 miles!
Oh.
There was no such distance! 5 miles?
Oh.
That wasn't a run. That was deportation. On that fateful dawn, the duty bombardier bade us arise.
Wiki-wiki, head of cocks, or socks.
Light. Now, I, like many others, had no intention of running 5 miles. Oh, no. We would hang behind, wait for the return, and rejoin them. But Bernard Law Montgomery had thought of that. We were all put on trucks and driven 5 miles.
Oh!
Out into the perishing countryside. Oh, so cold you could strike matches on them. Off we went. Leather suitcase in the front. In 10 seconds, he was trailing at the back and collapsed into a ditch. We left him expiring by the roadside. One by one, we arrived back at the billets. Behind was a 5-mile train of broken men. It was the end of the line for Leather Suitcase. Our new CO was Major Chaterjack, McDusso. McDusso? M-C-D-S-O. Yes, that's it, yes. McDusso. In the months that followed, he ran us across 2/3 of England. Then we ran out of it. Herds of men reported sick with sore feet. Busty Roberts told us the cure.
You piss in your boots, lads, and you let them stand in the overnight.
My God, he was right. He was right, but there were accidents. Forgetful sleepers got up and plunged their feet into boots full of ice-cold urine. But of course, the Russians were advancing on all fronts.
Hooray!
The Yanks were coming.
Hooray!
And we had our first case of crabs.
Ooh.
The victim was Gunner Milligan. The MO wasn't. He wrote out a prescription for blue unction. Gunner Milligan entered boots during the Friday rush hour. Fortunately, these boots weren't full of them. Excuse me. Can I have some blue unction?
Blue